I hope everyone is doing well today. I hope you listened to part one of Jordan and I's interview called The Three M's, Masculinity, Money, and Marriage. Today we're going to be going all over marriage and what does it mean. So sit back and enjoy every moment with Errol E.
You're listening to Every Moment with Errol E. We believe that every moment deserves a better story. And on this podcast, we tell those stories. Here's your host, Errol Lee.
We are moving on from money to now moving on to the I do's of marriage. And, marriage is a beautiful thing. And before it into marriage, some people are like, well, maybe we should do counseling. And when we hear the word counseling, we might think that's kind of like negative. Like, why do you need counseling in the beginning? Like, you might have been together a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. Why do we need counseling for a marriage? But what is your take on counseling before getting married, during your marriage? As well, and have you gotten any counseling, like premarital counseling, and maybe doing counseling now?
Sure. So, me and my wife, we did do premarital counseling. I'm a big advocate for it because we were together. Don't quote me on this. I believe it was 5 years before we got married. So, I mean, we had some skin in the game. We weren't, dating only 1 to 2 years. So we went in there with an understanding or posture to learn. We didn't think that we knew everything about each other and everything about the marriage scene, because that would be incorrect. So through premarital counseling, there was a lot that we were exposed to that we never thought about. You know, we never actually had a conversation. Sat down and had a conversation about money. You know, it's funny, you know, as much as, you know, I'm into finance and everything, I never really had the conversation with my wife and what budgeting for us would look like, what her viewpoint is on spending, you know, just like the question that you asked earlier. So that was eye-opening. And even intimacy, you know, that's something that isn't really talked about a lot as far as not just physical intimacy, but emotional intimacy, what that looks like for us, what it all entails. So it was very eye-opening. You know, there were some things that we didn't see eye to eye on during that time, but we were able to talk through it, and also with great guidance as well. So we may not have had the solution, but we were able to get good feedback from, you know, our guidance counselors, our marriage counselors, which was definitely, you know, important. You know, we had some tough conversations, but they needed to be had. So.
And it's good to have those conversations before you get married, because at least, like, you know, it's like clearing the air. Like, if you're open, it's not like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. But it's more like, let me understand you better. And you're having kind of like this third party who may not know you like that, right? Give you that advice. So they're not biased on like, oh, we know the groom on this, or we know the wife on that. It's kind of like that outside, like, okay.
Yeah, you don't have mom and dad trying to give their own opinions and everything. Yeah, neutral third party. Yeah,
that is true. So, yeah, if anyone could find, like, you know, a good marriage that is maybe outside of your family, friends, and even outside the church too, where you can get that, like, unbiased and really look at how to deal with those type of maybe conflicts, resolutions together prior to saying I do, where it springs up and they're like, oh, I didn't know this. So having that marriage counseling is good. It's a good thing. So how did you know you wanted to get married? Like, what was that aha, like, I know I have to marry this woman? What was that? Well, how did you know?
Yeah, so through a lot of prayer. There's some times where I just didn't know. You know, I've told her that a few times as well. But I think the pivotal moment for me was me and my then girlfriend. We had kind of split up for a few, and you know, normally through a breakup, you're feeling, you know, heartache, you know, pain, you're sad. And, you know, I felt those emotions. It was normal. But for me, the reason I was feeling it was a bit different. It wasn't because the relationship had ended and I'm just really sad. To me, I was sad. I was grieving, but still all in that, like, this is the girl that I want to be with. You know, throughout those motions, that's the thing that kept playing in my head, is like, I really want to be with this girl. And the reason for the split up was because I kind of wasn't stepping up. You know, I was selfish, and everything. I was more so thinking about myself, because it was hard. That was my first long relationship, one that I took seriously. So, you know, with being single, everything, you're more focused about yourself. So I had to learn that transition, and I wasn't doing too good during that time. So that's the reason we ended up splitting up. But yeah, it just, that time just really made me realize, like, this is the girl that I want to be with. My life is a lot better with her. She was like, even I would say we're yin and yang. You know, she's the opposite side of the spectrum, but we complemented each other so well. She was very supportive. So I didn't want to get back with her because I didn't want I wanted the pain to end. You know, I was getting back with her because I knew that, wow, like, this is my girl, and this is someone that I wanted to marry. So that's kind of when I found out that I wanted to marry her, and here we are, almost 2 years later, married.
Awesome. That's such a blessing, though. That is such a blessing. You know, with marriage, but also too, that, you know, it's kind of like the whole butterfly scenario, you know, like, if, you know, like, there was a breakup, but, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, right. And the butterfly will come back. So, like, you know, and that's the mentality. It's like, you know, if you can say, you know what, I don't want to be selfish no more. I love her. This is what I want. And then God's going to be like, okay, I see that you are becoming mature. Now I'm going to bring this person back.
Yep,
into definitely. Your life. So that's really good, man. That's really good. So how do you and your wife manage the outside noise, you know? In this world, you know, people are giving advice on what you should do, what you shouldn't do. This is how your marriage should be. How do you really manage that outside noise?
Yeah. So with being married, I mean, there's a lot of noise surrounding relationships, period. But, you know, even more so, we were talking about marriage. For us, we've really been blessed with a great circle of people. So it's really the noise that we're hearing. It's not so much noise. It's just wisdom. So we've been, you know, really blessed to have a great circle of people. You know, my parents married for, I believe, 23 years now. Her parents are still married. I'm not quite sure the number on them, but we've been able to pull from two great resources. There are some people that, you know, thought we were a bit too young to get married. So I got married at 21. So there was a lot of noise, I guess, in regards to that element. But my thing is, I don't believe that there's a thing of being too young. You have two people a lot of people, their argument is, oh, you're just figuring yourself out. You don't know exactly what you want. I know exactly what I want. And as we grow, we're going to learn ourselves together. So as I change, as she changes, we're going to constantly learn and adapt to those changes and whatever may arise because of it. So, yeah, you're missing out on a lot of fun. No, I have a wife that I can go to a party with if I want to. You know, just because you get married, the fun does not need to stop. You have a life partner, and you get to enjoy a lot, and you get to enjoy a lot of things with that one partner. I don't need 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 women to, you know, enjoy life. You know, that's really my best friend. So, yeah. So that's how.
Awesome, man. Beautiful words right there, man. So if anyone has any questions for Jordan as well, throw those in the comments. We'll be answering them at the end too. But to talk on a serious note, and a lot of people have a hard time talking about this one, and that one is the word divorce. A lot of people have a hard time talking about divorce and things like that. So hold on real quick. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. All right. Sorry for the delay. All right. So we are back. So one thing I do want to throw out there, you know, Tiffany says, I love you too, honey. There you go. There you go. So that is wonderful. But the question that I wanted to discuss was, and I know it's a very hard topic for a lot of people to discuss, and that is the word divorce. No one really who's going into marriage wants to get a divorce. You know, you say sickness and a health, death do you part, you, that's your life partner. But in life, divorce does happen. Why do you think a lot of people are quick to divorce? And why is that?
Yeah, so, yeah, divorce, you hear a lot about it nowadays. One thing that I would say, and I don't plan on becoming a specialist at divorce, so that's a good thing. But one thing, you know, observing others is, initially they don't view it as a lifetime commitment. When we say I do, better for worse, for richer, for poor, like that's life. But I think people, even though they say their vows in their heart, is just like, okay, I'm here as long as things are good. Kind of like, you know, farewell spouses. I'm only here during the good times, and if it's not good, then I'm leaving. I think that's a mentality that is caused by, I would even say, social media a bit. You know, we have the couples taking the pictures when everything is good, when they're traveling, but we don't get to see a lot of what happens in the background, having the tough conversations. You may not like your spouse in this specific moment, but there's still love, and we need to communicate. So there's a lot of hard work that goes into it. And I believe that partially social media plays a part in why we're seeing a lot of issues, because everyone is seeing the highlights, but they're not seeing that the hard work, the practice, which is the communication,
right,
and sitting down, having those hour, 2 hour conversations, even though you may be done. So I think that partially divorce is why it's still very, I wouldn't say high, but it's higher than it should be. It should be zero.
Right. It should be zero. But you know, for people who have gone through divorce, you know, there is that match out there for you. You know, there is that match out there. You know, take the time to love you, find you, and really be like, you know what, the next person that comes along, that's the one I want to be with. You know, The divorce rate is high, but you know, it doesn't have to be, you know.
Yeah, I kind of want to go back to what I mentioned a bit. I wouldn't say it should be zero, because there are some situations where a divorce is probably the best route, especially if you may be involved in like a abusive relationship. So yeah. I do think there are some circumstances where a divorce is warranted. You know, if you happen to be in that abusive relationship, no one should stay in that. But outside of that, if it's more so of, you know, he doesn't get me or things of that nature, I think that you could really sit down, talk through the situation. I mean, even there was a question before, marital counseling during. I'm an advocate for that as well. I don't believe that you have to have a bad marriage in order to have counseling while you're married. You know, when you're growing a seed into something, you know, you water it as it's growing. You don't wait till it's almost dead in order to start watering the seed. You know, your seed is that marriage. So you still want to pour into it, even if things are great. You know, still things that you can learn about during a great marriage, and it can get better even, you know, with having an expert or, you know, great set of people that have been in your shoes before and have a proven track record. So
right, that's true. Right, that's true. That is so true. Now, do you feel that the word why do you think people get married out of necessity? Some people might think, oh, it's just the thing to do, or you know, my parents tell me I should, or I read books and this is what life should be. Like, why do you think people get married out of necessity?
Yeah, I think that there's a few things that play into that. Some could be, you know, religion. Specifically with us, you know, we're told not to have sex until we're married. So people may want to get, and it's a very silly thing to get married because of. So if some people just want to have sex. That's it. Like, hey, I'm attracted to this person. Let's just get married. And that's not a good foundation to build a marriage off of, you know, yeah. So I'll just keep it there. But, so I think that's one thing. Religion may play a role. Hey, I can't do this unless I'm married. So I'm just going to get married. Some people don't want to be lonely. You know, they marry out of fear of being lonely. Let me capture this person, keep them. That way I'm no longer sad. I don't have to worry about being boyfriend girlfriendless for however long. So yeah, I think there's a lot of factors that play into that. So
right, that's true. I didn't think about the whole, like, the lonely part. Yeah, some people might be lonely and be like, yeah, let me just get married so I'm not going to be lonely. But that can definitely have an adverse effect, and that can cause a lot of different things, and have a emotional roller coaster,
right,
in your marriage. So don't dive into marriage just because you're lonely or this person's attractive and you're like, okay, yeah, I want to get married because they're attractive and that's it. Like, don't go in that way, because it just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. But if anyone has any questions, you can definitely throw it in the chat. But before we wrap up, there is that one question right here from Ray. And she says, how do men build emotional intelligence? That is such a great question. Mm-hmm. How do men build emotional intelligence?
Yeah, so I think that one is to address the stigma out there that men aren't supposed to display emotions at any point. You know, there is that stigma that we are supposed to keep the ass on our chest, be strong and everything like that. But I think it's important to acknowledge. I think it's important to acknowledge that it's okay sometimes to, you know, take the cape and the suit off and, you know, just vent to whoever may be around, whether that's a spouse, a loved one, friend, because that can hurt you more than it can help, you know, because as you bottle things in, that can cause you to explode when it's not warranted. It can create toxic masculinity because you want to hold everything in. You're trying to do things at you're not functioning at full capacity because you think holding it in is going to allow you to still accomplish the things and take care of everything. But I think that'll drain you more than anything. So as far as how to build it, one, acknowledge the fact that it's okay. Yo, if you need to cry sometimes, go ahead. It's okay, you know, because at the end of the day, you'll be able to better function.
Right.
Get into it, educate yourself. Of course, you know, what emotional intelligence exactly is. You know, there's a lot of great resources. Again, books, podcasts, YouTube videos that'll help you to learn how to express yourself because it's not easy. I wouldn't say it's an easy thing, especially when you're carrying around this persona that you have everything together and you're supposed to have everything together. So I'm learning how to share, be comfortable with sharing. So yeah, I would say acknowledge that's okay to, you know, have emotions other than frustration and being angry. I think that's the two emotions that as men we think is acceptable to display, but you know, when we're sad, when we're hurt, those things are supposed to be suppressed.
Right.
That's kind of like a bad thing as well. So yeah, acknowledge, educate, and then find someone that you can release those emotions to. A safe space.
There you go. A safe space. Awesome. So now, thank you, Jordan. So now we're going to do some fun questions right here. So,
ready?
Yep, you ready? Here we go. All right. First question. What is the funniest moment in your marriage?
The funniest moment? Oh, geez. I'm glad I only have 2 years to really pick from. The funniest moment. I think because there's a lot of like small funny moments that we have throughout the day. It's hard to pick what the funniest would be. I'm trying to think of something recent. Bear with me here. Funniest moment. My memory is not that great because we've had a lot of funniest moments, but there's not one that comes to mind right now. I know that typically Tiffany doesn't like it always, but you know, I like to, you know, kind of scare her from time to time, spook her, which is funny for me, but it may not be funny for us as a whole. I have a comment right there. I don't have an answer for that one yet. I'll think about it though.
All right, so I have you think about it. So, celebrity crush. What was your celebrity crush growing up?
Growing up? Who did I have crush on? Celebrity crush. I would just go with probably the most generic answer. Say Beyonce.
Beyonce? All right. I think that was, I feel like that's almost everybody's celebrity crush. Beyonce. Yep. So what is the best piece of advice you've gotten?
Best piece of advice? I would say stay on the track that you're on. As simple as it may sound, it's more so reassuring. You know, I've had the ability to sit in front of great counsel, which has contributed to where I am now. You know, whether that's my parents, other people that may be in the position where I'm in, you know, I've been able to sit in a room full of financial advisors, which has, you know, really shaped my viewpoint on money even more so. And it was reassuring to hear, like, hey, you know, We think you're great, and you know, just keep on the track that you're on right now. And I guess that would be the best piece of advice, because it was reassuring. It's like, okay, all the hard work that I put into not just, you know, money, but, you know, even my relationship with my wife, spiritually, just like, keep going. You know, you have a good head on your shoulders. Just continue to walk down the path that you're on, continue to acknowledge God, and you'll be good.
That's so true. That's so true. Now, from the best piece of advice, what about the worst piece of advice you've gotten?
I can answer that immediately. I want to avoid giving too much details to identify the person, but it was when I was new to investing, specifically in stocks. The piece of advice that was given was buy stock where you normally purchase from, like a store. Just think of a store that you normally go to and buy that specific company. It wasn't good at all, because there's a lot more to, you know, consider, just other than, you know, I like the shop there. You have to consider, you know, how much debt the company has, the debt to income, the assets that they have. Operating margin is something that I think is very important when evaluating companies. So that ended up being the worst, because I lost quite a bit with that single piece of advice. So,
I'm gonna hold on to that. That will be a good piece of advice to me to not do that. So I'm gonna hold on to that. That's really good.
Yeah, I think alone, just basing your purchase decision off of that is not good. I mean, that's something that you want to consider, because if you purchase there, it's most likely that other people will purchase there and it's popular, and that would contribute to the company's assets, you know, the revenue that they're able to bring in. But just alone purchasing from somewhere or buying stock in a company that you like to buy stuff from, yeah, that ended up hurting me a lot.
All right. That's definitely good to know. The best compliment you've ever gotten?
Best compliment. Probably sweet talking a little bit here, but like, you know, I'll say like married people kind of look alike, like they start to look alike. So yeah, saying that, you know, they're starting to look alike was a compliment, because I have a very beautiful wife.
Oh. There you go. There you go. She's probably going to be commenting in the chat, which is awesome. All right. So what do you think the biggest perk is about being married? What is the biggest perk about being married?
Man, the biggest perk so far has just been, you know, the favor of God. There have been a lot of opportunities and openings. You know, as it says, you know, God honors marriage, and that's true. You know, we've been blessed, whether it be, you know, monetary gifts, opportunities, again, being able to sit in front of certain people because of us being married has been a great opportunity. So I would say that is the biggest perk. Nothing else can really, you know, top that at all. You know, the favor of God, it's heavy. Mm. It's heavy. Mm.
True story, man. Who would you want to portray your life? If they made a movie about your life, who would you want to portray your life?
Who? That's a good one. Who would I want to portray my life? Like, up to this current moment.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I don't know his name, but I do. Oh man, I'm kind of torn now. So I'm gonna give you two. I'm gonna give you two, and then I'll have to make the decision. So, I really like Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Solid actor.
Yeah.
And just like an overall great guy. A great guy. Him or what's the guy's name? Because he, there was a movie that he did with, can't think of the name. He was definitely in Moonlight, though. He was like the main focus of that movie, but he also did a movie with, I'm gonna get torn to pieces. He was the actor in Training Day. He was the main actor in Training Day. I'm gonna get torn to pieces for not knowing this one.
Wait. It wasn't Denzel Washington.
Denzel, yeah.
Okay, Denzel Washington. All right.
Shame I could not think of his name, but because he did a movie also with Denzel. I can't remember the name of it, but since I can't remember his name, I'm just go with Michael B.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if someone could find that answer for us, that'd be great. What about your guilty pleasure? What's your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure, would be cars. I just really love cars, specifically sports cars. Recently bought my dream car, which was an 01 Mustang. And as I continue to look at cars, I just want more. Not the most expensive, though. It's outside of my budget. That's not living below my means. but, you know, just something that, you know, no more than like 5K, I would say. The cars that don't seem to age still has power, and, you know, you could add things to it. I consider that Mustang my toy. So, yeah, that would be my guilty pleasure. Love muscle cars in general. So
nice. A luxury you can't live without.
Luxury that I cannot live without. Are we talking about like physical things, like a phone, Wi-Fi, or just anything?
Anything.
Well, I'm gonna say this, but I'll give another answer because I would say, you know, obviously my relationship with God, you know, I wouldn't be where I am without Him. But I feel like that's the easy answer. So I'll give a different answer. Luxury, I cannot live without. I don't want to say my wife, because I've buttered her up enough. I would say Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi?
Yeah, the reason for that is, you know, that's my main use to acquire my knowledge, whether it be ebooks, YouTube, and everything like that. So definitely Wi-Fi.
Nice. I think that's the same with me too. Wi-Fi. Can't live without Wi-Fi. is there an upcoming movie that you're excited to see?
Upcoming movie? Yes. And I'm glad you brought this up because I totally forgot. I do believe that they are still in 2021 making the second installment of Avatar. So I'm excited about that if it actually comes to fruition. So that's the one that I'm most excited about.
I can't wait to see that. I saw part of Avatar. I need to see the full movie. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what. Disney, right? Yeah, Disney's gonna come out with.
Disney.
Yeah, what Disney's gonna come out with? Longest period of time you've been awake.
Awake, 24 hours. It's back in my high school days in the summer when I could afford to go stay up all day. So 24 hours would be the longest I've stayed up.
Nice. Superpower you wish you had?
Rewind time.
Because
I would probably go back and invest in some stocks that's really big now.
Yes. Amazon, Apple, yeah, one of those. Microsoft.
I'm not a big fan of it. I probably would do cryptocurrency as well. Take that little rise up, sell it.
That's true.
Million.
That's true. That is so true. I still don't get it. I still don't get cryptocurrency. Yeah. I might need to take a class on that. But yeah, it's something. It's new. It's probably not new, but it's new. I feel to a lot of people trying to understand it. But yeah, I agree. If you were stranded on a desert island, what would you bring with you? Maybe three things. What three things would you bring with you if you're stranded on a desert island?
I was stranded. If I was stranded on an island, what three things would I bring with me? I'm trying to avoid giving a funny answer because I would just say a boat. I'm no longer stranded. Definitely Wi-Fi. Definitely Wi-Fi. My phone, and I bring my wife when we make it a vacation.
All right, there you go. All right, something you believed in, or something you long believed to be true, but found out it wasn't.
Yeah, it's a good one. Found out to be, thought it was true, but found out that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really comes to mind. Can't really think of anything. Yeah, I have nothing for you.
All right. Now, final question. Jordan Hammond in 10 years.
10 years. Yeah, so I'm really big on positioning myself to where I can look back and say I made myself proud. Like the 18-year or even like the 10-year-old me, I could say today I made him proud. So in 10 years, I would still want to be able to look back and say, yeah, the present me is proud of where I am now. I'm probably owning my own business at this point. I'll probably still have my foot in the credit card industry. Probably part-time because I really love where I work currently. Debt-free, more so on my wife's end. I will have had paid off all of her debts. Wonderful kids, probably 3 to 5. And happily married still. That's where I will be at in 10 years.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Great 10 years right there, man. But, I want to say thank you very much for coming out, and discussing all about the 3 M's, masculinity, money, marriage. Awesome questions in the chat for everyone who was following along. Thank you very much. We hope everyone is staying safe this Labor Day weekend. Hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend. Thank you, Jordan, for coming out.
It was great dialogue. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, man. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to Every Moment with Errol Lee. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now.